launching from an ether port at RBN, cruising at light speed. Here's your host, Steve Starrs.
Well, hello. Glad to be back with you again today, the 13th, I guess, of February, day after Lincoln's birthday and the Super Bowl last night. If you saw it, we didn't watch much of it. I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't like football anymore, and I definitely didn't watch the halftime show, but I heard all the reports, which is what I thought I would hear. Friends, some people say, well, if you don't watch this and the ratings go down, they won't continue to put these kinds of Luciferian programming inserts into shows that people like to watch, like the Grammys. I think, what was the guy's name? Sam Shepard or Sam Smith or something like that. I can't remember what his name was. But that gross display that they had during the Grammys, brought to you by Pfizer. Yeah, you remember that. And then, of course, what's this gal's name, Rihanna? I don't follow her much at all. I'm not really, why don't they have somebody that everybody knows? You know what I mean? I know Tony Bennett's probably too old. I think he's still alive, though. But, I mean, I like to hear some great old acts and people that, been around for a long time. I'm not really into this culture insertion of these people that they keep putting in there that really aren't. They're really not football fan fair, in my opinion. They're not really the kind of people that most football fans really care about. And, I like Tom Petty, to add him on years ago, and The Who and some other great bands. But, I'm just really tired of all this stuff. And I'm tired of the overtones. And you probably heard about them and saw them. I looked at a little of what were the repeats or whatever on various sites. And, it didn't look too healthy to me. Okay, that was just my opinion. But anyhow, that's over with. And, I'm kind of glad I've been a football fan for many years, of course. And, I've had my favorite teams and some of my disfavorite teams. I won't go into that because it doesn't even matter to me anymore that much. They're trying to insert all of these satanic acts and plays and formats into the shows that you and I and your family and people like that are watching, and they're pretty disgusting. And people say, well, if we don't watch, they'll quit putting those in there. But let me tell you something. The pharma companies have such big money, and these people who have so much influence on the media right now aren't really concerned about ratings. Ratings don't matter to them. Ratings don't matter to the networks. The only thing that matters is that the people who have this money, who perpetuate this kind of filthiness on your primetime TV shows, are the ones who are paying for it. And it doesn't matter whether you turn it off or not. They're going to buy up and try to insert their propaganda and their misfit agenda into everything they can. And it's pretty disgusting, I know, but... it's too bad that we've lost our institutions and the country is in such a bad situation. A lot of things to talk about today, of course, and, the balloon situation keeps ballooning, the balloon drones or whatever it is. Out here in Colorado, not too long ago, we had these mysterious drones that were flying around at night. Now, drones aren't supposed to be flying around late at night. That's part of the problem. And these were rather special, some of them being upwards of 6 to 7 feet in diameter. And there were also a number of small ones were following them around in various places. And they got called all the, after, all this suspicion of what was going on came out, they called all the local sheriffs around here in Colorado, Nebraska, Wyoming, where we've been seeing all these things. And one of them was our local sheriff here. And, they went in and talked to the FBI about what was going on because people were getting a little nervous. What are these things that are flying around, sometimes buzzing cars, flying over fields late at night? What the hey is going on here? And, of course, after the big discussion, the FBI came back and said, there is nothing more that we can tell you at this time. Boy, there's a line, isn't it? Nothing more that we can say or tell you about this at this time. And so the idea was that the sheriffs were supposed to perpetuate that lie to all their people. Well, there's nothing more that we know about this or can tell you at this time. And they repeated that mantra over and over. And we had on our radio station locally here, we had our local sheriff up there, and a lot of people were asking him questions. And I had just so happened to be surfing around on the internet, and people sent me some information, which people are always inclined to do. And there was some information there about these Department of Energy drones, 5G drones that they were using, and they were very special. And they were the very large types and very apt to do all kinds of things. And they could communicate with a number of smaller drones in the same area. And they were very, very elaborate in terms of talking about what the Department of Energy was doing with these drones. And I mentioned that, and I sent a copy of this to the sheriff when he came on the show. And he, I guess somebody in his office had given it to him because he'd probably seen it. And I said, well, it kind of looks to me, Sheriff, like this is probably some kind of a Department of Energy project that's going on up here. Do you know anything about that? And he kind of, yeah, you know, the Department of Energy has been very concerned about the pipelines, the Keystone Pipeline and various other things. And I know they've been using helicopter surveillance and all kinds of other, observation tools and stuff like that. In other words, it was kind of a bingo. Yeah, okay, now we know who was behind all this. I don't know for sure, but it sounds to me like it was the Department of Energy, DOE, and they were the ones who were piloting all these drones around late at night. They were terrifying some of these farmers and scaring animals and people on dirt roads back there on the farm roads and stuff like that late at night. But nobody would tell us anything. Well, the same thing is kind of going on with NORAD, you know, and now they're talking about UFOs and you have the fake alien scare, Project Blue Beam. You know, you folks have heard a lot about this kind of stuff before. And, you know, the prophecies of Wernher von Braun about how they'll create a fake alien invasion. And we're going to have asteroids, you know, hitting us very soon and all kinds of strange things that are going to be happening. All of it's fake, all of it's BS. I don't know for sure. But, you know, let's not... Let's not jump through too many hoops. We don't want to be doing that. We're knowing that probably most of it is going to be the kind of thing where the officials who are supposed to be informing us about what's going on in our own country, who we pay to oversee things. Well, we don't know any more about this at this time. You're going to hear a lot of that, you know, and that's kind of what's going on here. You know, when I don't want to get back into the balloon issue, but when I saw that one that came down that shot, I think it was an F-22 Raptor that shot it down. You know, if you listen to Mike Rivero's show, he covered that really well. He follows right after this one here on the network, RBN. And I think he had some pretty good information about how they use these Sidewinder missiles. When I saw some of the pictures, it looked to me like there was quite a vapor trail of some sort, either burning or whatever, behind whatever was coming down. And that really makes me wonder, was it just hot air in these balloons, or are they dispersing things? I'm actually more concerned about what they might be dispersing, not necessarily viruses, but possibly biological or even nanoparticles. Remember, we've talked about that? Nanoparticles. That's the big thing now. Whether it's nanoparticles in your food, nanoparticles in vaccines, nanoparticles in chips and in communication devices, nanoparticles everywhere in products in the stores. We're seeing these nanoparticles just about infiltrating everything out there at the time right now. And, I don't know what they're dispersing. If they are dispersing anything, it could have been a spy network. But I am quite concerned to some extent about what they may be dispersing from these balloons, because it looked like this one really had a lot of just like a chalky film. Maybe it was talc or something like that that was inside the balloon, but it looked like there was a lot of stuff coming down behind the whole thing. Anyway, I don't want to get into too much paranoia about that. You know, a lot of things that we could talk about, and of course, we've already covered the disaster of these public performances that we're seeing right now that are being spliced into and implemented with all kinds of satanic and rot gut stuff that's infiltrated into your house. Everybody, I think, who is pretty smart right now knows that the fake news media is also very dangerous. It's out of control. You know, the Seymour Hersh story, Seymour Hersh being a very well-known research reporter, in-depth research investigative reporter, telling us now the whole story about the pipeline, the Nord Stream pipeline. So we pretty much have that conclusive, and that, I guess, that makes Joe Biden a terrorist, doesn't it? Because don't terrorists do things like this? They actually create these hidden attacks and then hide behind some narrative or don't take credit for it, you know, because they don't want to be identified. Unless, of course, they are a fake terrorist group or somebody who really wants the headlines for doing what they do. And that happens sometimes, too. And now we're hiring back the same old ISIS crew in Syria to go back and terrorize and start all kinds of terror attacks in Russia. Really a good idea, I think, at this moment. You know, we can talk a little bit about Russia. We can talk a little bit about whether everything that's happening here is for real or it's being staged. I think it's a little of both, friends. I don't think everything is entirely staged. I remember Dr. Stan Monteith, who was a great, one of the first Patriot Truth type people on the radio many years ago. And I disagreed with him on a few things like HIV/AIDS, which I think he was very wrong about. We actually debated. He actually invited me to debate him, which was good. We had a great debate, but we disagreed. I told him the whole thing is a damn fraud. And he kept telling everybody that it was a real infectious virus. I said, Dr. Stan, you of all people should know better. You should see what's actually happening here. But he had a lot of great things to say, too. He was a great man. And in the long run, I say about 90% of everything he said we were in pretty strong agreement with. One of the things he said many years ago that I thought was really remarkable, is very true, that I want to repeat on the good side of what of the great things he did. He said, you know, it's been mentioned and enumerated upon many times, elaborated upon, I guess is the word, that whenever you start a war or a revolution, there's really no guarantee as to how it's going to turn out. In other words, there's not necessarily any, I mean, we keep thinking all these people know what they're doing. The reality is you can tell they don't. And a lot of times things get out of hand. Revolutions get turned over to sometimes revolutionaries underneath them. Wars don't always go the way people think they will. These things are not that much and that well controlled, to be really honest with you. And I think it's wrong for us to think, oh, these people have it all figured out. No, they don't have it all figured out, obviously. History proves they don't. I mean, they didn't have it figured out at the Tower of Babel. You know, the Pharaoh didn't have it figured out at the Red Sea crossing. We've seen so many times when people thought they had things figured out and how it all came back on them hard. And I was glad to see that in history, and it repeats itself. So we don't know what's going to happen here, but we do know this. If we're observant, we're questioning, we're asking questions and discussing these things among ourselves, keeping an open mind, of course. Yeah, we're going to see some real plans. We're going to see some things envelop. Is it likely that Russia is being programmed or that Putin is really working for Klaus Schwab? You know, I mean, it would sure be a 4D, 5D chess game if he was, I think. I think from my observation of Putin, I think he's a nationalist. I think he cares about Russia. He is looking at serving Russia first and Klaus Schwab last, if necessary, especially in this condition. I don't think Putin is operating underneath the control of anybody in the New World Order other than Vladimir Putin. Why should he? Why should he? What does he have to gain by betraying his people to a group of elitists and oligarchs who are not doing everything they can to hold back what has been trying to blossom and bloom again in Russia after all these years? I just don't think that's the case. But anyhow, we'll see how these things progress. You know, I might wax a little bit into some biblical stuff here, and I think it's important that we do. You know, most of you who have read prophecy, and by the way, if you don't know much about prophecy, biblical prophecy, you should look into it. You really should. I think about two-thirds of all biblical prophecy is already in fulfillment, friends, okay? Do you know the history of biblical prophecy? I'll ask people. There are 365 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. Can you name five in their reference? And most people, not too many can. I'll give you a hint. Isaiah 53, I think it's got about 29 or 30 just in one chapter. I mean, they're all through the scriptures. You can find them virtually in every book. 365. If I took a calendar and, you know, and wrote down a date, and every date on that day, and I wrote down a prophecy and fulfillment, it would take you about 30 days and you start to realize what I'm talking about. Over 365 prophecies. I think the chances are one out of 1.5 trillion or 1.5 billion. I don't know. Josh McDowell did a book on this a long time ago, figuring the percentages, probabilities, odds, whatever the case. But the thing is this, most people don't realize that most of the prophecy in the Bible is already in fulfillment, especially the book of Daniel, which I could go into in great lengths, and I will sometime. And there's some things there that I would love to share with you folks, but I'm not quite ready yet, so we'll have to just stay tuned. Anyhow, the point is that you probably know that in Ezekiel 36 and 37, it talks about the regathering of Israel in the end times. Actually, 36 is the land of Israel. It's not the people. It's primarily focused on the land. That's spelled L-A-N-D, as in dirt. You know what I mean? The land itself being restored, which it has been recently. And then, you know, you hear about people who have come from all over the world who are Jews, some from Europe, some from other places. You know, there are a lot of questions about all of this, and a lot of people have raised serious issues as to how this all happened. The Palestinian issue, which I'm not at all unattuned to, my friends. I think the Palestinians got a rough deal. But the problem is now you got a lot of people there who claim to be Palestinians who really aren't, actually. Like even Yasser Arafat was born in Egypt, you know. So how do we square these folks away who were displaced? You know, we have the same problem right here in the United States with our American Indians, by the way. We have a lot of people where we violated our covenants with. We didn't apply an equal share. Had they spent the kind of money they needed to when they wanted to regenerate Israel, I think they would have had the ability to pay a lot of these people very well for certain real estate that they wanted to sell, not real estate that was taken away from them. And there might be a different situation there. But the problem is it wouldn't have been changing much at all if you know the nature of this area. That place has probably got more blood soaked into the soil than any, 100 square miles on earth, in my opinion. If you look at all the battles and wars and things that have happened there over the years, it goes way, way back to pretty close to 4,000 BC. Anyhow, enough said about that. Ezekiel 36 talks about this time when the people and the nation will be regathered there. This is was prophesied by Ezekiel in about 583 BC, I think it was, right around that time. I'm not sure what the exact date is. I could look that up. When Ezekiel was a captive, taking a captive to Babylon after the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem back in it started in 605, and by 586, they had destroyed the temple. So, you see this has happened over and over and over again. These cycles keep repeating. And that destruction of the temple was foretold by Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the rest. And Ezekiel prophesied about that before it happened. These things happened along those lines. Now, what happened in 70 AD, of course, was this time the Romans destroyed the temple. The Jews were allowed to come back under a prophetic decree. By the way, Cyrus, the king of Persia, is named by Isaiah back in around 730 BC, almost 140 years before he came to power. Isaiah named Cyrus as the leader of Persia who would send the people back to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. He named him by name. And these are the kinds of prophecies that are outside of even the messianic prophecies. So what you have now on top of that is even more probability. Now, why do I get into this? Well, like I said, people don't know too much about it, really, to be honest with you. Very few do. Some are very well aware. But it's surprising, you know, I think what happens when I talk about this, I'm a little surprised at how little people know about it. And you would think, gee, I think people should understand a little more. This is, after all, it's history. So anyhow, we'll talk about that and some other things coming up. Stay tuned right now. A break here on RBN, and Lightspeed will continue.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Why'd you do me this way? Yeah. Hey, great tune. I'm getting right back into it. Steve Starr's here with you on Lightspeed. You know, I love doing the show here. I wish I could. Well, I'd love to do more shows here at the network, and I have in the past. The thing is, you know, I really got to commit to it, or you just got to do what you can when you can. And that's what I'm doing right now to help the network. Because, friends, you know, we got to keep RBN on the air. We got a lot of great people, a lot of great workers, a lot of folks that I put a lot of time into this, and I'm just helping out as much as I can to cover up a little bit for the time when they need some extra talent just to that will lend their time. And that's why I've always been a volunteer. Etheric Dave and I did shows back in 2016. I think started late 15, maybe it was. I can't remember. But we were on for about 5 or 6 months. Doing daily shows. It was a great time, but we kind of hit an impasse because we were saying, look, you know, we either got to make a show out of this or we got to stop the other. And actually John sold the time. And that was good. You know, I was kind of glad in a way because we were at an impasse. We either had to really dig in and keep going, or we had to stop. And John needed to sell the time that we were using at that time to somebody to keep the network going, which was fine with me. And that was one of the reasons why we had to cease that program at that time. But I've been back and forth many times. I know Steve Elkins real well. We're good friends, and I've covered for him a couple times. I hope he's back. And I know he's been sick, and he's a great guy too. You know, a lot of good people here at RBN. So support the sponsors and support the network, and let's keep it going because we need every voice we can it out there right now. So, you know, we were talking about Israel. Some people might disagree to a large extent, you know, with the regathering and the regeneration of Israel at this stage of the game. You know, a lot of people have the idea that they're going to build the kingdom of God. And that's not the way it's going to come about, friends. It's not going to, you can't rebuild Israel and the kingdom of God will suddenly appear. As a matter of fact, what's going to happen will be more times of trials and tribulations, often referred to as the time of Jacob's trial. The worst time of trials and tribulations are coming. That brings us back around to Russia and what's happening right now. Okay, so we're on the verge of this conflict with Russia. And we talked about Putin a little bit earlier and saying, well, is he programmed to start a war between the East and the West, or is he legitimately, you know, one of those people who's a nationalist who believes in Russia and wants to raise Russia back up and doesn't like being messed with as he has? You know, Steve Elkin sent me an article that was great from, I think it was from Lou Rockwell. And it talked about that Article 51, which I've mentioned before. Everything that happened prior to Russia's so-called invasion was in response to an invasion of a lot of Nazis and terrorists that came across that area and were really causing a lot of trouble over a period of time. And Putin could have waived that area or that Article 51 thing, and he did. He mentioned it several times, the Minsk Agreement, all of this that was violated by Soros and these color revolutionaries, you know, Right Sector, Azov, all these different people there, all of them were coming against Russia illegally. And this has been going on with the Zelensky thing all the way back, you know, the whole situation, Soros, Zelensky, the whole people, Biden, and, you know, all the Burisma activity, all the corruption that Hunter's been involved in. That place is just a firebed of corruption. Now, if you ever get a chance to see Oliver Stone's film, Ukraine on Fire, which I think goes back to about, 2016, 15 or 16, after the Crimean situation, right around that time, when Crimea voted to join Russia at about 95% and to be reaffiliated with them, which was part of the original breakup of the original Soviet Union. They were supposed to be part of that anyway. That was never on the table. And so these people are trying to get a hold of Crimea because they're trying to shut down any warm water port that the Russians would have there in the Black Sea. And so that's the big reason that they're behind all that. Anyway, getting back to the point that Putin, you know, Putin was actually the son of Stalin's chef, as I understand. And his mother was, before he was born, his mother was found by his father lying on a pile of what were dying people or dead people, assumed to be dead. She was dying from starvation. And he had pity on her when he realized that she was alive and nursed her back to health. So Putin had kind of an idea of what happened during the Stalin era and everything that went wrong. And he became an economist. He's got a degree, a PhD in economy. And he knows a lot about how economics affected everything with Russia at that time. And he's rebuilt the country. Now, when the United States launched its ABM missile system, which there really wasn't negotiated properly in the START talks, and that's why they got away from them, you know. What it was intended was a mutual assured deterrent, and they were supposed to keep that balance so they didn't get out of control. Well, that fell apart with all of the SALT and START talks that I think that they put together for that period of time. So as a result, the United States had this ABM system, which was really basically these were Tomahawk missiles full of BBs. They were just kind of like shotguns attempting to take out these missiles. Really wasn't a super high-tech ABM system, and it didn't work very well either in the world. Let's put it this way, you wouldn't call it a very lockdown kind of a ABM system. So the problem is they ran into this issue with that, and Putin said, hey, we can't keep up with them with this ABM stuff. We're going to have to build more aggressive weapons that beat theirs. That's how it got started. You're listening right back
to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are Aren't you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, there's a pain in my side that I keep traveling on. Bring peace to this troubled land. It's dark out here, I can't read those signs. Bring peace to the troubled land. Hurricane on the horizon, judgment getting closer all the time. I can't find tomorrow. Bring peace to this troubled land.
Wow. Yeah. Love that song. Well, great, great coming in, too. We were picking it up. Yeah, the hurricane is on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen. Talking a little bit about Putin, talking about Israel, talking about the conflicts in the Middle East, talking about ISIS being funded again, the same people that the insane John McCain was funding years ago, Brzezinski and so many others. They're now hiring up their own little, what you might call, terrorist squad to attack Russia there in Syria again. The same people, essentially, you know, the ones that we created the first time. You know, maybe they ought to call Hillary in. She was really good at that. I mean, this is kind of the thing that's happening over there. And we're talking about all the problems of the situation, the real estate, the claims, the religion, the ideologies. It's a troubled, troubled area. And so, you know, the question is, what is Putin going to do about this? And as I said before, he went around, he went ahead and started designing their own new hypersonic missiles, a lot of new military hardware that the U.S. had not seen before. Some of it came into play. We talked about this before with the USS Donald Cook in the Black Sea. how the Russian Air Force basically jammed their radars and flew by and waved at them from the cockpits as they were unnoticed. I mean, all kinds of things have happened, and Russia has become very, very high tech with their military stuff recently. So we don't want to tangle with this, and there's no need for it. As a matter of fact, Putin, I think, would like to square off and say, look, let's not have a fight. Let's just back off a little bit and go back to business as usual, because he wants to conduct conduct business. He is a businessman. He's an economist. They have so many resources. And so now Joe Biden, the terrorist, as we have said, takes out the Nord Stream gas pipeline. I don't know how that's going to help Western or Eastern Europe, actually. You know, by all the, they need this gas, but I guess Norway thinks they're going to provide it. It's still going to be a problem. The situation is only getting worse there because you have idiots who are making these kinds of decisions, and they're prodding Russia into a situation here. Putin ignored that article. Well, he did. He raised it, but he ignored trying to go through the UN and spend time with the UN, obviously, for good reasons. There was no outcome with the United Nations that was going to remedy this situation in any of the window of the future time period there that was necessary. He said, I might as well just go ahead and respond to this attack. I'm completely legitimate in defending Russian borders and Russian interests and people who voted to become part, independent affiliation. Let's put it that way. They're not part of the Russian Federation, but the people in the Donbass region, that's that whole area there that's contended about right now, they decided that they wanted to be affiliated with the Russian Federation because many of them speak Russian. They have far more of an identification with the Russian Federation than they do with the madhouse in Ukraine and all the corruption there. So, I mean, this was the whole thing that has spurred all this on, but yet it was instigated, as you can tell. We've seen a lot of that kind of stuff happen. But anyhow, I'll get back to that question again as to where is this going? And I was going to talk about biblical prophecy. Now, a lot of people talk about the Gog-Magog war that is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Oddly enough, the alliances there are lining up right now. We're missing a couple of those countries right now. Libya is not on board, which would be one of the few that's left. Ethiopia, we know, is swinging that way very quickly. Turkey is now the one that's a real contender because that would be, I think, the area of Gomer that's in that prophecy. So we have Persia, of course, which is Iran. We have Turkey, we would have a good portion of that entire area where Georgia and Armenia, a good portion of the Russian Armenian border area would be. The question is Gog Russia? Gog, Magog, Meshech, and Tubal. We know where all these locations were. Now, the name Gog in the King James is actually translated from the word Rosh, R-O-S-H. And it's not really a location, it's more of a description. It means the head or the leader. You will hear that same word in the new moon celebration every fall, Rosh Hashanah, meaning it's the first month, So the name Rosh, which is sometimes derived to a lot of biblical prophecy teachers as meaning Russia, doesn't necessarily mean Russia, but it could at the same time as well. So are we going to see this massive invasion in the Middle East, the Gog-Magog invasion, coming very soon? It appears, as many people who have looked at these things have said, to precede the end times, the apocalypse. It's going to be one of those things that happens, the wars and rumors of wars that happen before the end times. But I'm also going to point out, if you haven't read this before, look at Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, and it talks about the army of the north here. I don't know any of this stuff for certain, but I'm looking at a number of these different prophecies, and it looks to me like Jeremiah 50 and 51 may be the next thing on the agenda of what's going to happen in that region. And now that it's heating up in Syria, we're starting to see what I think very well could be the beginning of this whole situation right now. So I guess, hey, listen, I've talked for a little bit here. I got some calls. We're going to try to go to them. I think I have Emmett in May. Let's see if they're there. Emmett, are you there?
Good afternoon, Mr. Stars.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well enough. Thank you. I hope you're doing equally well, if not better than me.
I hope so.
My impression is that it's a staged war or a fake war. Just consider three things. One is the annual defense budget of Russia is about $65 billion. And I think the war is only aimed to impoverish and weaken the United States. That is, the way it has got extended, there is no explanation for that. But if you see that if the war gets protracted, more weapons and more money needs to be sent from United States to that area. And then consider visits by dignitaries into Ukraine and outside Ukraine. That is, even if you ignore the visits of maybe prime ministers or presidents from, say, Lithuania, Latvia, or those Baltic countries,
yes.
UK PM, that is Mr. Boris Johnson as well as Mr. Sunak, both have traveled to Kiev, and Mr. Zelensky has also traveled to the United States in addition to maybe another country. So have you ever heard about any attack being made on the office or residence of Mr. Zelensky? And which country head will travel to a real war zone? His plane may get shot down or something like that, but nothing has happened. So it is a war only meant for impoverishing, weakening United States. So that's my impression. I'll listen to your comments, if any, on the air, and I'll hang up. Thank you again for taking my call.
Hey, I appreciate it. Well, hold on just a second and get back and maybe let you respond one more time, because I like your perspective. You're asking some good questions, I think. Yeah, the impoverishment and the economics of this are really a big part of it, as you noted. I mean, it doesn't look to me like anybody's getting richer or has much to gain from any of this. And, you know, I think you're pointing this out politically speaking. I don't understand why so many people in the United States seem to think this is a good idea or backing Ukraine. I mean, why would we want to see a war like this, except for, you know, we're being told that we want to. And I've been against it from the beginning. But you're right, though. I think the economic factor of this, and Russia doesn't have that big of a military budget, but they're pretty highly developed in that area that they are. Any other comments real quick?
No. I only learned it from another host that the annual Russian budget is about $65 billion.
Yeah.
And we have already sent maybe upwards of $50 or $60 billion, maybe cash plus weaponry, to Ukraine. So why do we send that when we don't have our own house in order? And
right.
Then, as I told you, that there has never been an attack on the office and residence of Mr. Zelensky, as well as which country head or president or prime minister would travel to a real war zone if UK prime minister can travel to that country. So I think nobody in right minds, I think much lower than that level, will be traveling to such a war zone. And some people say that, yes, there have been life attempts on Mr. Zelensky, but if he's leaving by air for D.C., that plane can be attacked if there's a real war zone.
But
that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So just think about that, it's not something real.
Right. It. You're absolutely right, my friend. Thank you for calling. That is a very good point. You know, Zelensky has been pretty comfortable. So has Soros. A lot of these people have not been disturbed at all this time. And those are very good points. You have to ask, how real is this? Let's see if we can get to James real quick. We're going to hit a break pretty quick, not too long. And James is Vancouver. James, are you there?
Yeah. good morning. Good afternoon.
Hey.
You mentioned Bible prophecy, mentioned things like the Babylonian captivity, and all that kind of thing. So my question to you, first of all, is when that was happening, what do you think was going on in China?
Well, that would have been
like
about
3,000 years.
Yeah, 536 BC. You know, that was about the same time. Before. Yeah, it was about the same time Hinduism and Buddhism were emerging in India at that time.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to just look back. You know, the Shang Dynasty right. goes way back. And so there was a lot right. of development. No. Yeah, go ahead, though. Yeah.
So here's my point. If the United States and Russia get into an all-out nuclear war, what the Chinese are going to do is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That will be on Russia and the United States and all the agents that provoked them to get into that war. The Chinese will do nothing because the Chinese see this from an objective point of view, right? That this is a Weigwurrende, Wenti. That in Chinese means that's foreigners' problem.
Yeah.
So I just want to make that point for all of those listeners out there that have, they know some history, but they don't know the whole picture throughout the world in the last 5 or 6,000 years. So,
yeah, that's true. All right. Hey, thanks, James. Appreciate it. Yeah, China has got a history as well. And you notice so does India, to be honest with you, that we don't know much about and we're not taught as much. You know, it's interesting that India has a lot of relationship with the Greeks. When Alexander the Great went there, we don't know much about the Mauryan Empire, but it was very big, and it started around that time, too. Well, actually, when Alexander went to India, traveled as far as India. So there was a lot of Greek influence in India for a long time, and that part of the world stayed somewhat separate from the rest of us, like China to the east as well. So there is a whole lot of history that we don't know in Western, what we call Western civilization or Mid-Eastern to Western civilization. But getting back to the whole thing about the biblical prophecies, the question is whether we're going to see something like the Gog-Magog invasion take place really soon, or possibly the invasion that is talked about in Jeremiah 50 and 51, which will be the obliteration of old Babylon, not mystery Babylon, that's written about in the book of Revelation. It's the land of the Chaldeans, the Mesopotamians. And if you read in the beginning, the very beginning of that chapter, Jeremiah 50, it talks about the gods of Babylon. They're broken and lying. Marduk and Baal are lying in pieces. Well, remember the newspaper clippings of the Antiquities Museum where all the gods were broken into pieces? And then it says an army out of the north will come. Well, that's directly where Russia is. And it says their archers will be of expert skill. I could read this to you. I'd have to go back and look it up. But it says the archers will be so accurate that none of their arrows will return in vain. I mean, when you have archers at 100% accuracy, come on. Well, the ground-based missiles that Russia has developed have virtually 100% accuracy. They have a very, very powerful ground-based truck-launched missile system that can fly through windows. And I mean, these things are absolutely razor-sharp. So I don't know if that's the next big thing that we're going to see, but Jeremiah 50 and 51 appears to be very similar to what we are starting to see right now. This whole thing is heating up. I think it was this French historian I was reading about who said that from his analytical point of view, World War III has already started. I hope that's not the case, but it certainly does look like things are going to continue and continue to get much more violent in that area. So, I don't know, is James still there? Maybe he's gone. Okay, well, we might be able to get another call in here. But, friends, it's these are the times that we need to be alert and awake to, and we need to be watching what's going on. It's going to affect our country. We are in no position, as you know, to be going off to gallivant around and instigate another war. Absolutely not, especially with this maniac we have in power. And, by the way, today is the 13th of February. And remember, if you've been listening to me, what I've said, I would come after the Republicans if they did not initiate impeachment by Groundhog Day. And I said I would give them a little bit more time if they were moving and maybe some leniency till Valentine's Day. And guess what day tomorrow is? If you have a sweetheart, don't forget. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, okay? So I said, you know, what is wrong with this picture? Why are we letting these criminals run this government? And I want to know, I'm holding the Republicans accountable. Now, I know there's some good Republicans out there. And I've said this before. I know voting and being involved in politics is really a little bit like bailing water out of a leaky lifeboat at sea. Okay, but it's better than sinking, and it might keep us sane for a while. So we got to keep doing it. We got to stay active with this. But I honestly believe that the Republicans, the good Republicans, should leave the GOP and start a constitutional Republican Party. And we need to get a new party going here, because the current mess of these fat asses who are not doing their job in the Republican Party is really, it's worse, I think, than, you know, being confronted by the Democrats, because we're being stabbed in the back and held down while we're being robbed and raped, friends, by this tag team of groups of these people in the GOP. And I'm talking about McConnell and Lindsey Graham. Okay, got another break coming up. Be right back. Stay with us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite. There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey now, hey now.
Hey, all right. Don't dream it's over. Great song. I got to get right back with you. We're almost done, friends. Just a couple things. You know, I want to make an investment in you, right now. Okay, you folks. Okay, I'm going to invest in you. Just a kind of a brief note to think about some of these things. You probably remember if you heard that Max Kaiser tried to give Alex Jones 10,000 bitcoins a few years back, back when they were really cheap. And Alex could not get a computer, didn't take time to set up a computer to get a wallet loaded to take this donation of 10,000 bitcoins. And, you know, well, when Bitcoin hit, what is it, 67,000, that would have been about $670 million, well over $500 million. And, you know, had he sold it high and bought low and sold it high, he could have turned it into easily $2 to $3 billion had he made that kind of time investment there. So, you know, now he's needing money. And, of course, everybody does need money. We got to keep all of this going, friends. We've got to stay active because we cannot let our words go down right now at this crucial point. But I want to say, tell you a little bit about an investment in you that I think is important. Are you ready for the resurrection of the dead, friends? And I mentioned prophecy. I talked about how a lot of prophecies fulfilled. You know, if we can't save this republic, if we cannot save our lives here, it's more important that you save your life forever than it is anything here, to be really honest with you. And all of us are getting a little older. We're losing people. We lost John Stadmiller. You know, we've lost so many people over, and people are dying because of the vaccine, but they're dying because of old age and a lot of things, too. This world is very temporary, is what I'm saying. And the resurrection is an investment for eternity. It's far, far better than Bitcoin, okay? Are you set to go? Are you ready for this? You know, and this is why I'm saying the prophecies in the Bible are so important, because they show us that the resurrection of the dead is real. Now, no one is going to die and just stay dead, friends. Everybody is going to resurrect, all of us. You know, it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since one man, that's Adam, came death upon the entire human race. Okay. For since one man came death, by one man came also the resurrection of the dead. All the dead are going to resurrect, friends. There's no such thing as suicide. You are going to live forever. This is the biggest point that we constantly ignore, because we're so busy with what we think we're doing here right now. And I'm saying that, you know, my investment in you is that I want to see you in the resurrection of the just. That's where we want to be. That's more important than anything right now. We don't know how long we've got. Some of us will be around for another 10, 20, 30 years, 40, 50, who knows. People are going to survive the Battle of Armageddon, and this world is going to become ruled the right way for 1,000 years. That's coming up very soon. I don't know how soon. I'm not setting any dates, but you see it coming. And the beast is coming as well, and he's going to mark everybody. Now, the people who die and who have the mark of the beast, that they die in their sins, they're coming back too. They will be immortal, but they won't want to live that way. All right, friends, it's been good to talk to you. Hey, stay tuned. Mike Rivero's up, and help out RBN. Let's keep it on the air, and let's keep going, and we got a lot to look forward to. We're going to win. Talk to you soon. Be back later.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.